our teachers again this year. A great deal of love and appreciation for him, and he's the pastor of Faith Missionary Baptist Church here in Bowling Green, and we're going to ask him to come now and to give his lesson. I want to ask you to pray for him, and again, give your attention to the word of the Lord, brother.
Appreciate that, Brother Miller. It's a blessing to be back at Fairview Memorial tonight. And I want to say I really appreciate in the lesson that we just finished with about Christ the Shepherd. And we've been hearing a lot of the many characteristics of Christ. And as we continue on with the lesson tonight, Christ the Friend. I certainly desire your prayers this evening. I have nothing new to bring to this congregation tonight. And I really believe that I'm sure the preachers here have no doubt taken this for a text different times, Christ the Friend or something along that line. And those that have been saved have considered and thought about what a friend we have in Jesus. So as we stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance tonight, I certainly desire your prayers, and I ask you to follow the Lord tonight as we go further into this service. I have never known how to preach, and I don't know how to conduct this service, but I want to ask the Lord to help us and that His Spirit would bless us as we go further. So everyone, be much in prayer, and if the Lord puts something on your heart, why, I don't think you're ever out of order to follow the Spirit of the Lord. So, we want to look tonight at a lesson title that's been assigned to us, Christ the Friend. And we've often heard it said that salvation is better felt than told. And that certainly is a true statement. And as I thought about this lesson tonight, I believe that the definition of a friend is better experienced than explained. It's hard to explain what a friend truly is. But they're very easily recognized. And I feel like tonight that I am in the midst of friends. People that not only love the Lord, but they love the Lord's church. They love the Lord's cause. They love the Lord's people. And are willing to support this way. And I thank God for each one of you. But when we're speaking about Christ the Friend, that far exceeds and it's many times multiplied what we might think about each other. And our theme this winter is about the many characteristics of Christ. A characteristic is a distinguishing trait, feature, or quality. And Christ is a title that refers to the Anointed One, Messiah, or expected Redeemer. We've heard a lot of preachers come up here and make that statement, but I don't think we can make it too many times. I'm thankful for Jesus that the Bible teaches us left the riches of glory and became poor that we through His poverty might be made rich. and that He is the Anointed One and the Messiah and our Redeemer. The word, our English word, friend, is derived from a German word meaning to love. According to Webster's New World Dictionary of the American Language, a friend is a person whom one knows well and is fond of, an intimate associate, close acquaintance. A friend is one attached to another by love and affection. The word for friend in the Hebrew language means to associate with or keep company with. In the Greek, it means dear or fond associate or neighbor. And tonight, as we're gathered here, I think we all know how important our friends are to us. I think about a movie that's popular in the holiday season. It's A Wonderful Life, and there's a part of that movie that someone says, no man is a failure that has friends. Well, if you have the friend that we're going to try to preach to you tonight about, you can never be a failure, no matter what your station in life may be. You may not be looked upon in the eyes of the world as a success, but if you've been saved by the grace of God and you know the Lord and the free pardon of sin and you know Christ as a friend, and we're going to try to get into that just a little bit more in just a moment, but you'll never be a failure. We'd like to first look at John 15, verses 11 through 13. Christ is a loving friend. This scripture says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So as we look at Christ as a loving friend, He said, greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for his friends. And while we look at our friendship in the world, a lot of times we look at that as a brotherly love, as a filial love, one brother to another. And I don't think Jesus was speaking about a romantic love here, but He was speaking about a godly love, an agape love. The Bible said God is love. And that's what it's referring to, a love that the majority of the world doesn't know anything about. But after you're saved by the grace of God, and this love comes in your heart, and you have salvation, you're able to understand about the love that God has for the human race. The Bible tells us, Jesus said in Matthew 5, 43 through 48, we are to love all men, even our enemies. Now, I don't think that within ourselves that we can do that. I don't think that just being a good person, as the world looks at it, trying to be civilized and trying to be one that would be giving in nature. We just don't have that in us. But if you've been saved by the grace of God, that love that is a self-sacrificing love that Christ, when He left glory and when He went to the cross of Calvary and gave His life for every man, woman, boy, and girl, when we can understand that kind of love, then we can see that we are to love even our enemies. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times. that we are to love our enemies, and we are to bless them that curse you and do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, I don't think that's something that occurs naturally in the carnal man. That's something that after you're saved by the grace of God and you know somewhat about this self-sacrifice and love, and you can surrender yourselves to the will of God, then we can come closer to the place that we can love our enemies. You know, sometimes it's pretty good to be around your friends when everything's going downhill and the race is not too hard. But if we're not careful, we can get into a love that's more brotherly love, in that if somebody says something that we don't like too much, or maybe crosses our path, instead of forgiving them, or instead of trying to pray for them, lots of times we're just ready to mark them off our list. And that's not the kind of love that Christ, the friend, that's not the kind of love that He exhibited. That's not the kind of love that He is and that He expects us to demonstrate. Proverbs 17:17 tells us, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You know, there's been times in your life, and there's been times in mine, when adversity and hard times have come, and the Lord has sent a brother to help us along the way, sent someone to lift us up. And we ought to be thankful for every friend in the Lord that God has provided for us. I wouldn't have known any of you here tonight if the Lord wouldn't have brought me out of a place where I was in a seemingly right way and brought me down in humble repentance where I could seek Him. And I found Him precious to my soul. And I'm thankful for the friends that the Lord has given me. And in general, before we go much further, you know, a lot of times we think about how that friends have certain attributes, and friends love us for who we are, not who they want us to be, or not because we may occupy a higher rung on the social ladder, or because someone has a lot of money or influence. A friend loves you for who you are. And the Bible teaches us that God is no respecter of persons, and that God loves everybody. He loves the whole human race. He loves all the different colors across the spectrums of the human family, and all the people that may be far away from us, they need to be saved just like your daughter does. They need salvation just like my son does. And we need to be much in prayer for our missionaries and others as they go out. A friend always wants the best for you. He can see your need, and he is truthful. A friend will tell you the truth. And aren't you thankful for Jesus Christ? Christ the friend. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. I'm thankful for the preachers that preach the truth. They may not be looked upon by the world as a friend. In fact, they may be despised by many, but they're a friend that the Lord has sent here. And the Bible tells us in this same book of Proverbs that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, referring to Jesus. In Romans 5, 6 through 8, We want to look at Christ, the friend who gave his life, a ransom for all mankind. You know, friends oftentimes do things for you that you can't do for yourself. And that's what Jesus did. He did something that we couldn't do for ourselves. We couldn't restore ourselves back into fellowship with God the Father. The Bible said it was searched in heaven and in earth and under the earth, and there was none worthy found to loosen the seals of that the title book of man's lost inheritance. There was none worthy, but Jesus said, "I'll go." And I believe, as I think these preachers do, I've heard them preach a lot of times, how that before the world was ever spoken into existence and hung upon nothing, that in the council halls of glory, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were in complete agreement as to the plan of salvation, and Jesus said, "I'll go, and I'll be the friend of this world. I'll pay their sin debt." And the Bible tells us how that when the fullness of time was come, that God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And I'm thankful that Jesus stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And this passage in Romans, the 5th chapter, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I'm thankful that God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you and for me. John 3:16, Revelation 22 and 17 teaches us that this is a whosoever will plan of salvation. Those that seek the Lord with all of their heart, when they hear the gospel, when they realize their condition, and they become penitent seekers, they can have access to this salvation that you and I know here tonight. I'm thankful that Christ was a friend of sinners. You know, this topic tonight, Christ the friend, I'm thankful that, you know, they said, "Well, He's gone to be the guest of the publicans and the sinners." Aren't you thankful that Christ was a friend of sinners? That's you and me. That's all the human family. When Adam disobeyed God willingly there in the Garden of Eden, we were all cast off into sin because of his sin of unbelief. We're of his posterity. But God made a plan. I thought about how that not only was he a friend of the publicans and sinners, but of the self-righteous sinners. Brother Reynolds tonight talked about how that he would, as a hen gathereth her chicks and so on, about the lost, those that were lost in Israel at that time, the Hebrew nation, and how that many of those in Israel were saved, but there were many self-righteous sinners, as Nicodemus and others, and as the one that you look at tonight, a self-righteous sinner. There's a lot of people out here that you and I work around, live around, that we run into every day, that they've never been saved by the grace of God. But they'll be quick to tell you that what good works they've done, be quick to tell you where their name is on the church book, and they can make a list of good things. But the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, but not according to works, lest any man should boast. So he was a friend of the self-righteous sinners, the poor sinners, the rich sinners. I think about Zacchaeus. The Bible said he was a rich man. He was a tax collector. He was a rich man. Jesus was a friend, saved his soul there. Somewhere or another around that sycamore tree, he said, come down. I'm thankful that the Lord brought me down in humble repentance. I'm thankful the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. He was a friend of the poor sinners. I think about Lazarus. He was a friend of the old sinners and the young sinners, the blind sinners, the lame sinners. You know, people just don't really want to hear that much, do they? When you get into a church house of people, I'm not talking about old-time Baptist people, but they don't want to hear you preaching much on sinners, that you're a sinner by nature. But you know, if they never hear that and it doesn't get down in their hearts, they'll never be saved. So wouldn't we rather be a friend to our Lord and Savior than to try to please men? Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. In the book of Revelation 1 and 5, he is referred to as the faithful witness, or I think you could say probably friend there. He's the first begotten of the dead. Brother Jeff Moran taught us the other night here how that he was a promise keeper. Not many of us have friends that are not promise keepers. You know, when somebody fumbles the ball too many times on a promise, it's hard to consider them a real good friend. But Christ is a promise keeper, as he preached and taught here the other night. I want to move on just a little bit to the next part of our lesson. In John 15 and 14, Christ left us an example to follow. As we think back about how that Christ was a loving friend and a friend that gave his life, a ransom for all, and that Christ left us an example. He said, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another." I believe today, as we tried to read and study on this, how that Jesus said, "I call you not servants." Now, sometimes that's a little hard for me to understand, that passage, but I got to thinking about how a slave or a servant, they really don't know the masters or the one that's in charge of them, their plans or their reasons behind it. They just have to do it. But you know, as we follow the Spirit of God and the love of God, and we study His Word, as the Spirit of God leads us, we know it'll not lead us into anything but truth. It'll lead us into all truths. And that we can know that the things that God leads us to do, there is a purpose for good behind it. And we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And I'm thankful today that we can be called the friends of the Lord if we will submit ourselves and subject ourselves to His Holy Spirit. I think we should always show and demonstrate our love of the church that Jesus built, that Christ built. Christ left us an example of how that we should love one another and be friends to one another. We should show our love of the church. That is to respect the doctrines, be loyal to our churches and to the ordinances, the Lord's Supper and baptism and the church covenant. Those things, we ought to show our love and respect of the church. We ought to show it in the church to our brothers and sisters and to those. The Bible tells us that for us not to think more of ourselves than we ought and to esteem our brothers higher and our sisters as well. And we are to respect each other and that we are to show... Before I leave that, though, the love that we show in the church, I think that what happens in the church, especially on conference night, we ought to show our love in the church, that's where that ought to stay. We ought not to be taking things out and spreading things that might be harmful or hurtful to the church. And that we ought to love outside the church as well. We ought to love the people that we come in contact with, whether it's at work, the lost neighbors that live around us, or maybe they're just strangers, or people that live in our own home. We need to demonstrate the love that Christ the friend left us for an example. And I believe it's very much... shown in the book of Luke in the 10th chapter when it talks about the Good Samaritan. This agape love of God that the scriptures teach us about and that we are to demonstrate after we're saved, it is a love that requires submission and sacrificing. And I think about that Good Samaritan. You know, the Bible talks about the one that was left for half dead. I guess he was beaten and stripped and so on for like that and left, probably he was half dead, left there. And the Bible tells us about the priest that came along. And you know, I thought about how that many times religious folks, they can talk a good talk, but when it comes to putting words into actions, the Bible said for us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. The Bible said that a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by the other side. You know, this was a priest of the law of Moses. He just decided, you know, I'll go the other way. And this is all just before this. You know, there was, the Bible tells us one of the lawyers, one of the doctors of the law that came to Jesus, and he asked the question, he said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, he just asked another question. He said, what's written in the law and how do you read it? He often answered questions with questions. And the man said, love the Lord with all thy mind, heart, and strength, and so on, and thy neighbor as thyself. And the Lord said, rightly said. He had this lawyer had to have one more input. He said, well, now, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And that's when the Lord started talking about the Good Samaritan. Because the Jews and the Samaritans had no dealings. And he knew the heart of this man. And you know, a true friend will help regardless of how it affects that particular person. There's been a lot of people sacrificed in your life, no doubt, and in mine, that were friends that I'll never forget. They didn't do it for their own benefit. They did it to try to help me. And the Lord, he saw this, that this man, he said, well, these Samaritans, they're not my neighbors. They're not my friends. And he said, what about the priest? He saw him and went on the other side, and the Levite, when he was at his place, came by, looked at him, passed on the other side. I think about how that, you know, that could have been somebody coming back from a church service, couldn't it? The priest and the Levite, you know, there might be some time we'd be coming back from a church service. Somebody be in need, the Lord put them in front of us. What are we going to do? We're going to show the love that Christ the friend has told us to show and taught us to show. He said, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. We know how that he took care of him, and he took 2 pence and gave it to the host, said, take care of him. When I come again, if you need more, I'll pay for that as well. He said, which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that shewed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do thou likewise. So, I believe today is that Christ left us many examples to follow, how to treat our fellow man after we're saved by the grace of God, and to be the friend to others that the Lord would expect. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 14, Christ is our friend forevermore. Brother Reynolds used some of these scriptures in the 8th chapter of the Roman letter tonight concerning the shepherd. But in the Thessalonian letter, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel. I think that that's already been mentioned tonight as well. You can look at these, John 10 about the sheep. But I want to look just a little bit, if you will, on the last page, if you have our outline tonight. We're going to close our lesson with a thought that the Lord has put upon my heart. And please pray for me, as you have been, that we can bring this out the way the Lord would have me to. A lot of the folks here tonight either knew Brother C.B. Massey, or you know the history of Brother Massey. He was a friend to this community. I don't know how far it is from Pleasant Shade up here, but it's down in Tennessee between Lafayette and Hartsville. I'd say it was a greater distance 80 years ago or so, or what, 90 years ago than it is now. But God had a purpose for him, and He became a friend of this community here in Warren County as pastor of Old Union. And as pastor, I believe the first pastor of this church at that time called Fifth Street, and at the church where we pastor, at Faith. And he was a friend of this church. And there was a friend of Brother Massey's. And his name was Brother Andrew Wheely. And some of you may remember Brother Andrew. He was born, I think, in about 1901, and he passed away in 1989. But he was a friend to Brother Massey. And he wasn't a God-called preacher, and he wasn't a deacon, but he was a singer. He led singing in revivals like some of you are blessed to do. And he was a friend to Brother Massey. And I am thankful that I can say I was a friend to Brother Wheely. I was a friend with Brother Wheely. And so I guess you could say I was a friend to a friend to a friend. And as we think about this tonight, Christ the friend, Brother Wheely was a singer, and he was with Brother Massey when they came here to the old tobacco barn, and I think Brother Sloan was with them, and maybe Brother Sloan stayed a couple of weeks. They had good results, I'm sure, and he felt like going on, but Brother Massey stayed, and so did his friend, Brother Andrew Wheely. Brother Wheely continued singing. Brother Massey continued preaching. From what I understand, there was over 100 conversions, professions. And it wasn't long until there was a church organized, and from that we have this, and from this we had Faith, and all the blessings that the Lord has given us. And I guess I want to say that Brother Wheely was a member at Red Hill. That's a little church up in Allen County. It's the first church I ever pastored about almost 30 years ago. And I wasn't brought up this way. And I didn't know anything. I was deceived, and I got saved on Wednesday, May the 16th, 1979, in a little office at school. Saved me behind the door there. And you know, I didn't really know anything about this way, but I didn't know I was lost standing in the corner. I didn't know that I heard the gospel preached, and I didn't have what these other people had, and God brought me down under His mighty hand, and I was a sinner in search of a Savior. He saved me. And they called me to pastor at Red Hill. To make a long story short, I didn't know any of these older preachers, and it seemed like the devil was just body slamming me left and right. And one day, Brother Andrew Wheely, he got up and he said, after I'd preached maybe 8 or 10 minutes at the most, I'm sure, probably something he had heard thousands of times. But he said, you know, I remember old Brother Cap Massey preaching that same message back in the year of so-and-so at so-and-so. And you know, he was just the friend I needed right there, because I believe God gave him that to help me, to lift me up just a little bit. And you know, that's what friends do. Friends will see you, a person that's in need, and without regard to any benefit that it could cause, it would be to themselves, they try to help somebody else. And, you know, I didn't know any of these other preachers. I'd heard of Brother Massey,
But Brother Caleb Fuqua had been at Red Hill for 20-something years. I didn't know Calvin Gregory, and I didn't know Brother Stewart. I didn't know all these people. I'd never heard them preach, and I didn't know, but I was so thankful that after he said that, felt like that the Lord just lifted me up just a little bit. I wonder today if you, Brother Danny, if you will, would you get that song ready for us? If you'll look, this is a song, and I really thought that the title that I had, Brother Andrew Wheely and Brother Henson wrote this song, and I'd like for us to sing it as we close our portion of the Bible study tonight. He is the friend you need. How that Brother Andrew Wheely could circle back around here tonight at Fairview Memorial. Probably at least 21 or 22 years after his death, I'm thankful that I still consider him a great friend along with many others. So, Brother Danny, if you would.